Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jim Roddy, your host for Tea Rose. And this morning we are very pleased to have Eric Zarin, the chairman and CEO of the Andrew Carnegie Hero Fund, with us. He's been with us for a couple of weeks now and talking about the people that risk their lives to save someone else. Welcome, Eric.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to come in and talk about. In this case, we're continuing summaries of the most recently awarded Carnegie heroes, those who will be receiving the Carnegie Medal for extraordinary civilian heroism throughout the United States and Canada. So if we can jump right in, I'd like to talk about, this was a very sad joint rescue effort. Mr. Victor Villanueva and Anna Kendrick both died helping to save J. Victor Villanueva and another boy from drowning in Seguin, Texas on June 13, 2021. Mr. Villanueva was 30 years old at the time, a lumberyard worker, and he had taken J. Victor, who was 9 at the time, and two younger sons, Elijah, 6, and Javian, 5, to fish and wade in shallow water surrounding a small island in the Seguin River. When J. Victor, who is autistic and nonverbal, stepped into water about 15 feet deep near an undertow, J. Victor's brothers followed, trying to help him, followed by Villanueva, who reached J. Victor about 25 feet from the island. Ms. Kendrick was 22, and her cousin entered the water and swam toward Elijah and Javian. The cousin used a floating toy to bring one boy to shallow water, while Kendrick grasped the other boy in deeper water and handed him off to the same cousin before submerging. Meanwhile, Villanueva passed J. Victor to a woman who swam to them before Villanueva submerged. The Villanueva boys were unharmed. Kendrick's body was found that evening. Villanueva's body was found the next day. They had both sadly drowned. This was a very tragic circumstance and a very deceiving peril. In this area, there were steep drop-offs, but only on one side of the island. On the other side of the island, because of currents and depths, other children not related to this party, you know, were swimming, wading without any trouble. But it was just a set of circumstances that were unknown to Mr. Villanueva until it was too late. And the children were caught, and he decided to act and give his life. Ms. Kendrick, she had not met Villanueva nor his party, and she decided as well to come to the rescue of these strangers and gave her life as well.
Well, you know, it's interesting, but how many deaths and how many rescues we have with things related to water. Water and automobiles seem to be the two largest contributors to people being needed to be saved.
Absolutely. Water rescues are just inherently tricky and dangerous. And for countless number of reasons, a victim can get into trouble quickly, whether it's medical issue, whether it's current water temperature, drop-offs, just a host of issues which are often not readily apparent from the safety of the shore, from the safety of land. Rip currents are another one that we see all the time, not only in saltwater, but the Great Lakes. You know, a tremendous number of rescues happen in the Great Lakes, which have really all of the same perils as a larger body of saltwater. So really need to be careful around bodies of water, all of us, and children especially, and because the perils are there and they're not always readily apparent. You can get into trouble very quickly. And a rescuer can enter a body of water, and for a number of different reasons, even strong swimmers, you know, rescuers can get into trouble quickly as well, trying to effect a rescue.
Well, I spent a good part of my young life in sailboats, and I raced sailboats in the ocean and in rivers and lakes. And I was on Lake Erie, one of the Great Lakes. And Lake Erie is real shallow. And when a storm comes up, they immediately have huge waves.
Right.
And it's just treacherous and frightening.
Very tricky and very frightening.
I can imagine.
And a victim can tend to panic, and that also, you know, creates a risk for the rescuer once they make contact.
Right.
This next case is really it was an amazing case, one we don't see every day. And what was kind of unique to this as well, before I tell the story, is we kind of had to look back. This was a rescue that happened in January of 2017. So for a number of different reasons, it was kind of set aside and came back onto our radar more recently. And we revisited the case and collected some needed information. But this was the case of Mickey Wilson, who rescued Richard Rattenberry from suffocation in Dillon, Colorado, January 2017. It was on a snowy morning at a ski area in the White River National Forest when the victim, Rattenberry, who was 30 years old, had difficulty unloading from his seat on a chairlift to a mountain summit because of a waist strap on the backpack he wore. It became entangled in the seat. As the lift continued and carried his seat downhill, Rattenberry ultimately hung from the seat by the tangled strap while his buckled chest strap tugged up to his neck, causing him to choke and lose consciousness. And when the lift came to a stop, Rattenberry's feet were about 10 feet off the snow-covered slope. Alarmed by screams and after unloading from the lift, Mr. Wilson, 28, was a part-time ski instructor who had met Rattenberry that morning through mutual friends. Wilson removed his skis and went below the seat, where he saw Rattenberry wasn't moving. Wilson went to a nearby tower, removed his gloves and a hand brace from a recent injury that prevented his dominant right hand from closing fully. Wearing his ski helmet and boots, Wilson climbed the tower ladder without a harness, straddled the 2-inch steel cable, placing his weight upon it. He pulled himself hand over hand and slid about 30 feet along the cold cable to a point over the seat where he was about 30 feet above the ground. He dropped himself into the seat, a distance exceeding his height, and kicked at the tangled strap that held Rattenberry, but could not force it to break off. A responding ski patroller threw a pocket knife up to Wilson, who caught it, unfolded it, and sliced the strap. Rattenberry fell to the ground where first responders tended to him before he was moved downhill by a toboggan to an ambulance, which took him to a hospital. Rattenberry suffered a broken rib and was sedated for about 6 hours, then released the following day and recovered without any long-term injury. Once the operator restarted the lift, Wilson rode to the base and he was uninjured.
Wow. I can just picture that as you talk about it. It's something you'd almost see in a movie.
Very cold, below freezing that morning with heavy winds. And you can imagine the feel of trying to cling to that cable at that temperature.
Yeah.
With the wind pushing you and swaying that cable. But Mr. Wilson just persisted. He used some skills that he had, but they would not be a full help to diminish the risk he brought upon himself that day.
Let's hear about another person, and I think it's another drowning. Or almost drowning.
It was. It's the case of Hiali Akahani, who helped rescue a boy from drowning in Bellevue, Washington on June 6, 2022. This was a suicide attempt. Sally, a 17-year-old high school student, loaded a backpack with dumbbell weights, which totaled 50 pounds, and entered willingly into Phantom Lake. Akahani was a police officer, age 51. He was on duty at the time. And he and his partner had been dispatched to the scene after police were told the boy's father received a text from the boy stating he intended to commit suicide. Now, Akahani and his partner exited their vehicles and searched for the boy in the park. They approached a fishing pier that extended just above the water, about 110 feet over the lake, and walked to its end. Now, both officers just happened to notice bubbles collecting on the surface of the murky water. Then for a flash, just for a split second, they saw a hand reaching up, just beneath the surface. Akahani removed his duty belt, leaving his ballistic vest, uniform, and boots on before he entered the 11-foot-deep water from the pier. He submerged twice, sweeping his arms in search of the boy, but was unable to locate him. Akahani submerged again and felt something brush his lower leg. He grasped the boy's arm, pulled him to the surface, at which point he placed his left arm around the boy's torso and held his head above water. Akahani grasped one of the pier's wooden supports with his right hand, using his left hand, pushed the boy upward. And Akahani's partner grasped the boy's arm from the pier, with the help of another officer, pulled the boy to safety on the pier. That was quite an effort to lift this boy and add additional weight up from the water. The officer administered CPR before responding firefighters arrived, at which point he and Akahani's partner helped carry the boy approximately 700 feet to an ambulance, which transported the boy to a hospital for treatment. The boy recovered. Akahani, too, was exhausted, climbed onto the pier, and remained in the water for about 15 minutes before firefighters provided a hook ladder, which Akahani used to exit the lake. Akahani was cold and exhausted, but did not seek medical attention, and he recovered. So this was quite an effort on Akahani's part, full gear, ballistic vest, boots, and additional weight on this victim who did not want to be helped. But let's hope that someday this 17-year-old boy looks back and understands to what degree Akahani risked his own life to save him and makes the best of it and considers that as he lives the rest of his life.
Wow. I had a childhood friend. His name was Roland McFall. And Roland and I were friends all through junior high and high school. And he was fishing in a creek or a river near Corpus Christi, Texas, and the Nueces River. And they were in an airboat, and they were going pretty fast, and they made a sharp turn and stopped, and the airboat swamped, and they went down. And Roland, he was hunting, and he had a vest full of shotgun shells, and the last thing we ever saw from him was him holding his shotgun up above, and he drowned in that water, and it was a tragedy. He was a great athlete and had scholarships to college and a great life looking
great,
forward to.
Great loss. And life that was never lived.
I'll never forget that scene.
It was just such a, you know, Mr. Akahani, along with his partners who helped him in the rescue attempt, it was just by that split second they happened to see the bubbles on the water.
How
fortunate it was. And we wonder sometimes how these things conspire for good to aid the rescuer in one way or another, and it's something we continue to explore and think about. But it seems that help is brought in many cases to those who need it, and it seems almost that a light is guiding them to effect that is rescue despite the odds.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Eric Zarin, the chairman and CEO of the Andrew Carnegie Hero Fund. Thank you for being with us this morning, Eric, and we look forward to you coming again and talking more about heroes.